Sure.
But first I have to... This is Aviv Naamani of the Oral History Project. The interviewer today is Sadie Baer. What we'll probably start off with is your recollections of old Louisville, or Louisville as you were growing up.
Well, I think my memories will go back about, my vivid memories will go back about 70 years. And I grew up in, was born in and grew up in a neighborhood that would have been meat for a man like Shalom Aleichem. It was a real Jewish neighborhood, a Yiddish shtetl. It was 7th Street. And from Chestnut to Market, on both sides, especially between Walnut and Market. There were a few on the other block. It was, I imagine, about 75% Jewish. You had your Jewish merchants of every type, your families. The butcher, everything that a person could want. It was just a small community. And it branched into Walnut and Jefferson and Market, people living along those streets. The house that I lived in was quite significant. Was born at 529 South 7th. It was an old home, probably wealthy people had lived there before, and it was the custom in those times. The ground floor apartments were servants' quarters, so the first floor was really one flight up. And I, to think of the fact that we had an integrated neighborhood. I was born in a house where black people lived in the basement. We thought nothing of it. The basement flat, the ground floor flat. We thought nothing of it. The next door had the same thing. Well, the significant thing about this house at 529 South 7th was that the first floor, which was one flight up, had two large rooms and a kitchen. On Friday night, Saturday, and Jewish holidays, it was a shul. During the week, it was the Educational Alliance, where young people came. We had basket weaving classes and knitting classes and sewing classes and candy pulling parties where we made taffy and pulled it. And really had a good environment for social life. And I remember that some of the ladies that were the heart of the organization, I don't know who was responsible or which Jewish organization was, but I remember two ladies, the Mrs. Bamberger. There was an old Jewish family here. And Miss Barbara Goodman came there, Mrs. Barbara Goodman, Dr. Solomon's sister, and quite a number of other, Miss Amy Dreyfus Washer, and Mrs. J.B. Judah, who was really an outstanding woman in the Jewish community and leader. Because of Miss Judah, I wonder whether the council may have been responsible, I don't know. She was active as a council Jewish woman member. Ms. Barbara Goodman was active at the Israel Sisterhood. So I don't know who, but we had a marvelous life down there. The shul, I don't know as of now, I may, the name of it, I may find it out and let you know. Whether that was a predecessor of the Agudas Achim or Anshes Fide, I don't know. But an old gentleman by the name of Spivak and a Mr. Runniger and Mr. Tarvis remain in my mind as the active heads of the shul. And I can remember that. Of course, the shul was not for young people then, like today. The synagogues were not. And I remember particularly Purim. as it happened, the stairway to the second floor where we lived did not come up from the front of the hall. It came up from the back of the hall. And you could look into these two rooms from the stairway. So we children would gather on this stairway to watch them dance and sing on Purim night, these older men. They were a little happy. They had a few drinks, many drinks perhaps. The schnapps was plentiful. And when they danced, and we sat there and watched. And we had our Gregors that we sounded when we heard the name of Haman. I remember, too, that we didn't have electricity. So my mother kept the coal oil, kerosene rather, lamp, took care of it for the hall downstairs. And Mrs. Judah wanted to pay her for the kerosene and for keeping it clean. And oh, she said, no, my children enjoy the place too. And that's my contribution. So for Hanukkah, Mrs. Judah sent her from the old Kaufman Strauss on 4th Street, where her husband was an official, a picture. She was very proud of it. We had a good life, a community life. Everybody shared in everybody's problems. We children didn't have any playground in the neighborhood. So we gathered down on the streets at night. There was no TV or radio to keep us inside. No air conditioning to keep the windows closed. So we played outside, ring games, sang all the old songs. We had a very happy, contented life and a well-disciplined one, too. Now, I remember, too, that in the summer they took us on expeditions somewhere. I remember one in particular. Miss Goodman was the leader. And we all dressed up in our starched little dresses and all. And I don't remember how we got over to the interurban car, but we got there. Whether we walked over or we were taken over on the streetcar, we didn't have buses. But we got the interurban and we went to a farm out in Pleasure Ridge Park. Who owned it? I don't know. Whether it was a Jewish man or not, I don't know. But we saw farm life. We watched them milk the cows. That was something new to us. We only knew milk as it came in a bottle. And gave us the fresh milk and big slabs of pumpernickel bread loaded with apple butter jam. So they tried in every way to make us part. We were first generation in this country. Our parents, my parents in particular, came in 1893 and 1895. There was hardly a week there wasn't a newcomer. And from one of the Eastern European countries. And they usually found a flat, we didn't call them apartments, they were flats, in a house that was called the Castle Garden. It was on the corner of 7th and Cedar. And a lot of flats upstairs. And they usually found them one, and that's where they stayed till they found work, till they learned a little English, till they were able to better themselves and move. But it was nicknamed the Castle Garden for that reason. And one of those flats in that particular house, there lived a Miss Fair, F-E-H-R. And she had a restaurant. I played with a daughter, Ida, and I marveled at that big room with so many tables and so many oilcloth covers on the tables. But she had a kosher Jewish restaurant. Now this is back prior to 1910, because we moved away in 1910 from that neighborhood. And we went to another Jewish community that was off of Preston Street. We lived on the 500 block of East Madison, Madison Street towards the Jewish hospital, and it's now called Flexner Way, but then it was Madison from Brook East. We lived there for 2 years. And of course, Preston Street was the center. Again, from Chestnut to Market, and mostly from Madison North to Market. There was every type of Jewish business that you would want. Delicatessen, milkmen, bakers, butchers, several Jewish butchers. Mr. Schrager, Mr. Snyder, that I remember. Gurwitz was on 7th Street, Jewish butcher. But there were, at times, 5 and 6 Jewish butchers in Louisville, which is a much smaller Jewish community. I remember there were several Jewish bakers at that time, Flegel and Diamond, Linker, later Goldberg, and you had real traditional Jewish bakery goods. There were several Jewish milkmen, Marcus on 1st Street, there was Bass on Preston Street, Goldstein on Jefferson Street. Oh, I know I'm omitting some. But you had abundance of Jewish life in every degree at that time. And of course on Jefferson Street, everybody went to Jefferson Street. There were Jewish people. The Wolves had poultry. There were the predecessors of the current supermarkets, Bass, Klein, Belker, Paris. All of them had the cut rates, they were called, cut rate markets. And of course there was a big hay market. And there was Benny Yonkershaw, Bnei Jacob on Jefferson Street, the Beth HaMedrash HaGadol on Preston and Fear, the Anshe Sfarad, which was by then located on 1st, just south of Walnut, and but an abundance of Jewish life. We still didn't have the radios or the televisions to distract us all. We lived there for 2 years. And then we moved into a real Jewish community, and that was Madison Street between Brook and Floyd. By then, the Jewish community had moved from West Market and from 7th and 9th and all, when they could, up towards this eastern part of Louisville, Preston. We're moving out south Louisville. And we bought Barnett Linker's home at 235 East Madison, because he had moved out to 1st and Ormsby. And that was, and we lived there from about 1912, till I moved away in 37. And if ever there was a close-knit Jewish community, it was that street and the next one towards Preston. It was really wonderful. Everybody, Fridays, if you walk through that street, they were polishing their stone steps with dressing, making them white, painting the red brick walks, the old brick walks, tubs of the house with red paint. Everything had to look beautiful for Shabbos. And you didn't know whose gefilte fish or chicken soup was smelling the best. It was real life, and many of the present day people spread all through the city were there. I can name a few, the Barons across the way, the Benamovitzes, the Leibsons, Rabbi Klavansky, the Nathan Bear family, my brother's family, Ray Bear's father, Ray Bear grew up there. The Leibsons, I'm trying to remember all the way down, the Menzins. On the other side, the Weinbergs, the Eislers, Spiegels, Alberts.
This was on Preston Street. No?
This was Madison Street, Madison, between Brook and Floyd. And as again, everybody shared everybody's life. At nights, we sat out front in the summertime, and there was gossip across the the fences, iron fences that separate the houses. People, they were semi-detached houses together, a whole row on both sides of the street with a few individual houses in between. The Landaus, I'm just trying, it comes back to me, the various people that lived there. And again, Preston Street was our shopping area.
Just out of curiosity, when did that migration to the Highlands?
Started late from 1st and 2nd Street, then they start moving up to the Highlands. I'm trying to remember just when. It was gradual. Now, in 1912, as I said, when we moved on Madison, they were moving out to 2nd and 3rd. It was, let me say, after the war years or so, when people got a little more economically able to buy better homes. I think after World War I, and especially after World War II, I imagine, I don't know when, because we never moved up there. And of course, after the flood, especially after the 37 flood, we all ran up to the Highlands then. And a lot of people started buying homes up in the Highlands then. But see, I can remember when it was 7th West Market, West Walnut Street in my time, from 7th down, as far as 16th or so, was lined on both sides with Jewish groceries. 9th Street, 10th Street, Cedar had groceries. The Epsteins were on, I think, 11th and Cedar, something like that. We visited there often. The Weisbergs had a grocery on West Market and down on West Walnut, and down 9th Street and 10th Street were a lot of Jewish small businesses, tailors, shoemakers. Mr. Ziegert had a, down this was about in the 20s, had a shoemaker place down on West Walnut. That's the father of the young men today. And the Educational Alliance that was downstairs from us later moved on 7th Street, on Jefferson rather, just a few doors west of 7th. And I went down there from East Madison when we lived up there. And the two lovely women, Mrs. Trost, Mrs. Fanny Trost and her sister-in-law, and Mrs. Meyer taught us embroidery. I was 10 years old then and I was already embroidering. They tried to fill our lives with worthwhile things. They had classes for the newcomers in English. And I'm just trying to remember some other things. The Anschutz Fire was on 1st Street, just south of Walnut on the east side, right on the alley. And a few doors south of it was the OYMHA. It was distinctly a Young Men's Hebrew Association then. I mean, women had very little part in it. I went to some entertainments there as a child, Conic entertainments thing. Then a few doors south of that was a house in which the Jewish Welfare Federation had the downstairs flat, and Mr. Charles Strull was head of it. And that was the beginning of the social, Jewish social service here. I later worked for it in the early 30s, and I was a social worker, and it was on Walnut between Brook and Floyd in the social service building. All of them, the nurses and all, were in that one building. And when I went to work there, Ms. Krakauer was the head. And later, when she left Louisville, Ms. Betty Rosenberg, whose father was the Jewish undertaker here, before Myers, she became the head of it. But I had to leave in 37 and give up. Not 37, I'm sorry. This was earlier than 37. I gave up about 32 to take care of my mother. And I didn't have anything but part-time work until 37 when she passed away. But that was, at that time, the little life. I can remember a meeting. Maybe I'm jumping around too much. I remember a meeting in the early 30s when Hitler was ravaging the Jewish people. And it was called at the old Knesset Israel Synagogue on Floyden College, which was then on Floyden College, to make a campaign to Jewish for relief of those in the. And at the meeting, they called me out of the audience to be the secretary of that meeting. I take the names of those who were contributing monies. And Mr. Saul Levy, who was an outstanding leader in the community and a part of the Federation Jewish Charity, was the treasurer. And every week they had speaking and the appeal. And the money was mailed to me, and I was living then at 235 East Madison, and I took it over daily with a list to Mr. Levy, and he was at the Gould Levy Company on East Jefferson Street, wholesale paper goods and other supplies of that nature. So that was the sort of beginning of the United Jewish Appeal. And of course they joined with the Federation and all later.
Which was, I believe, then the Conference of Jewish Organizations.
Well, Charles W. Morris, who was my Sunday school teacher in the early days. Now, I've forgotten this. When I was about 9 years old and we had moved up on East Madison, I heard that Adith Israel was opening a Sabbath school for non-members. This Shul's didn't have any Sunday schools then. The Cheders were the only place where Jewish children could have the education, Bible, biblical studies and all. And the temples did have them for their members. But as Israel opened a Sabbath school, Saturday afternoons, and I went there from my ninth year till I was 17, I went Saturday afternoon. We were really taught biblical history. Now, of course, not the Jewish life as an Orthodox people observed it, but Jewish history. All of our teachers were wonderful, dedicated people. And Rabbi Enloe was the rabbi then, and later Rabbi Rach came. And I really appreciated so very much because I learned Jewish history and learned it well. I could name almost all the teachers that I had. We had a beautifully disciplined school, and we had assembly in the during the time, and some child was given the opportunity of giving a sermonette. And I left the other day. I found one I gave when I was 12 years old about the value and importance of little things. I still have it. I gave to Rabbi Waller not long ago a big box of memorabilia, the pamphlets that we were given that fitted into a binder, and the programs. I was in many of the programs. Now, we had joint programs with the Sunday school for Sukkot and Shavuos. We had our own Saturday afternoon Purim party, and they had their Sunday. I don't remember about Hanukkah, I think, was in the temple joint. But I'm very grateful to them for that. And when I finished all the classes Saturday afternoon, Rabbi Rauch invited me to come on Sunday mornings and complete it there. And I have such memories of my last year when I was senior high school, and then Charles W. Morris was our teacher. We didn't have a textbook, it was discussion. And I stood the lone Zionist against a crowd, but it was worth it. It was a little argumentative and it was a little difficult at times, but I stood my grounds. It wasn't popular to be a Zionist then. See, I've been through that metamorphosis too. It became Zion, became, after Israel was established, it became a little more, it became more popular. But I was alone. And Charlie Marsh was very, very kind, very lovely. I have something that he did for me that I'll never forget. The YMHA was very active then, a second in Jacob, and was drawing in the women. Women were becoming part of the board, and women's groups were being organized. I worked there as bookkeeper. There was a Junior Social and Literary Society. Sounds very big, doesn't it? And they sponsored two declamatory contests every year. One was for women, girls, and one was for boys, young men, young ladies. In 1919, they asked me to become one of the participants. And I said to Mr. Morris, I don't want to give one of these cut and dried speeches. If I had something worthwhile, I would. I said, I'll write something for you. And he wrote a tribute to Jewish womanhood. Beautiful. And he coached me in it. I have my silver cup. It is as true today as it was in 1919. Just have to change one word. Instead of Bolshevism, you say communism. And the appeal to us to keep pure Jewish womanhood, it traced what Jewish women have contributed to Jewish life in the early days until that time. It's a very beautiful thing. I wish some way I could pass it on that it would be a memorial to Charlie Morris. The reason he chose me to be his Queen Esther at that temple, he wrote the play in 1915. He wrote our poem play. And so that's why he wanted me to be in this declamatory contest.
I just want to check the progress of the tape for a second.